Look at 1 Timothy. Those of you that have just walked in, you haven't missed much. We've just started. We've just covered 2 points on the methods of approaching a textual sermon. So now we're just looking at the examples that have been given. And the key here is understanding the examples will allow you to understand how to prepare a sermon, a textual sermon. So what we're going to do is these examples we're going to look at will just be a base. In the exercise time, you'll now look at a text of your choice, but applying the principles. Okay, from 1 Timothy chapter 4, verse 12. Do not let anyone look down on you because you are young, but set an example for believers in speech, other version would say word, okay, in life, in love, in faith, and in purity. So you see from that very text that in the analysis, that's the order you follow. Very, very straightforward, isn't it? Very, very, very straightforward. So you preach this text in the order that has been prescribed there. Now, you can look at the breakdown there. There are 6 points to cover. Given 25 minutes, 30 minutes, that's a lot of time. And you have a lot of material to share. Because what you want to make sure is that your congregation understand what you're conveying. So you won't be tempted to run around to other texts to fill up the time. Because the time allotted, the material you have will fit in the time that has been given to you. Because you're going to make people give illustrations as you preach the sermon. What are the examples in word? Let somebody be able to relate to that. I'm going to leave church in the next few minutes, few hours. How does this fit in when I go to my workplace? When I go to the class? How can I be an example in word? Yeah? How can I be an example in conduct? And all the other things that have been listed there. So as a preacher and making this presentation, you have a lot to share. So you can see just how beautiful text of preaching is, isn't it? So you won't be having trouble trying to cover many other texts. But what you're aiming to do is making people leave and saying, today this is what we learned. Today this is the message that reached my heart. And because they've understood it, they'll be able to share it. You remember last week there was mention of the purpose of preaching? To make disciples. Remember? Purpose of preaching to make disciples. So it's very important that as you preach to your congregation, you want to see that change take place. So what you're sharing, people are able to implement. Okay? Another example is the next verse. And the title of this one, it says here, the three duties of a young minister. Three duties of a preacher. Three duties of a leader. Okay? And again, you read this text, until I come, devote yourself to what? Public reading of Scripture, to preaching and to teaching. Again, as you analyze this text, you find that it's what? It's straightforward. Isn't it? Because the points are put in order. So you won't think and say, no, hang on, can I switch this? Can I start with teaching, then move to exalting, then come to reading? You don't have to, because the text itself just gives you the order. Now, these duties apply to us as preachers as well. We cannot be preachers if we are not studying the word, can we? But what are we going to preach? You know, what are you going to preach? You've got to be deep in the word. Yeah? In exalting and in teaching. Now, is there a difference between teaching and preaching? If there is, what is the difference? First of all, is there a difference between teaching and preaching? Yes, surely there is. Definitely there is. It is very important for us to know that. What is the difference? What would you say the difference is? So what that tells us is we have to bear in mind that inasmuch as we are preachers, the teaching component is crucial. And we need to be aware that we need to be teaching as well, for the reason that has just been explained. It's very, very important. Because you find that even in the Gospels, the two words are used. Jesus went about preaching and teaching. So the fact that the two words are used, it shows that there is a difference. So you need to know, now I'm preaching. Now I am teaching. Sometimes, like in Sabbath school, teachers are preaching. Am I right? Because they want to tell everything they've learned and understood without, as Robert says, stopping and saying, are the students getting this? Because let's not forget, not everyone would have read the lesson. Because we always take it for granted, well, you've got the study guide, you must have read the lesson. No. At that point, you're teaching. So you're going to engage your class. Find out where they are. Are they grasping what you're sharing? Don't rush to completing, because it's not about you finishing your job. As in, this is what I set out to do, and in your planning of setting out to do, you don't include the students. Then you've lost the plot. Because as a teacher, you know that when you're preparing your lectures, your material, you're thinking of your students. And if you know them, which in this case you must know them, you know that such and such best understands with a lot of illustrations. Such and such best understands when you say, can you explain this? Can you discuss this among yourselves? But then they're learning. Because the aim of the teacher is for the students to do what? To learn. If they haven't learned, have you done your job? You haven't. So you give yourself an X, you failed. So that's why we are, you know, as Paul writes here, admonishing Timothy, he says, read the word, preach it, but teach it. I love preaching. I also love teaching. And sometimes we need to ensure that the balance is right. Because sometimes there could be too much of the other. And in most cases, as preachers here, we just want to preach. Just want to preach. You could take your sermon, which you have preached in the morning, and have your afternoon program using your same sermon material and teach it. Did you know that? Because when you do that, as you were preaching, people are asking questions. And sometimes you may not have answered the questions they were asking. Yes, as you were preparing your sermon, you had some questions that you think people may ask. But when you mention something, somebody thinks of something. So when you turn your sermon into teaching material, that person will have the opportunity to ask the question. And then you can use either your material, which you have already prepared, and say, well, you know, answer to the question you've asked is this point. But sometimes you say, well, I have to prepare my sermon, then I have to prepare teaching material. It's the same. Just convert it. And that's why we're told here, preach and teach. Again, as you can see, 3 points, but see how much time we've just spent explaining them. Yeah. Your sermon is done. Okay? Another example, which is when you're doing an analysis, is in Psalm 1:1. Memory text to many of you. Can someone recite it, please? preachers. Okay, what does it say? Can anybody read, please? Thank you very much. Again, in your analysis, the text is in order. You see that? So as you preach it, you can preach it in the order that the text reads. Again, very, very straightforward. Okay. The other examples are there, but I'd like us to go to John chapter 14. John chapter 14, verse 6. John 14, verse 6. Again, a very well-known text. What you see from your workbook is the author gives us four texts, because he's saying 6 to 9. Notice that? So you do 6, 7, 8, and then 9. And then the title he's got there is Son of the Father, the Son and the Father. Now, a textual sermon is 1 to 3 texts. But most times I like to limit it to 2. So 1 or 2 texts. But you can have 3. In this case, he's gone to the 4th. Now, what's happening here, which I want to explain to you, is as we are stressing the issue of finding what the text is saying, you can quickly leave the flesh of verse 6 and move to the other verses, because you have been asked to look at 4 verses. But at the same time, you can eliminate 3 verses and stick to only 1, which is verse 6. Because look at verse 6. It's loaded, isn't it? How would you break down verse 6 alone? It's there? Yeah? Yeah? What title would you give to this text if you were preaching it? Are we all together? Yeah. What title would you give to this text? Okay. Jesus, our example. Any other title? Surely there must be about 12 titles here. Yeah. Each of you would definitely come up with a different title. Which is interesting, because that's how you're looking at the verse. So what title would others come up with? Jesus, the way to salvation, yes? Okay, there we go. Others? Right? Always Jesus Christ. Oh, who is? Okay, who is Jesus Christ? Okay. All right, so okay, question form, okay. Any other? Okay, so the breakdown is the way, the truth, and the life. You may not sympathize this one. You may just analyze it, because the order is very straightforward. So your waiting congregation wants to know, what are you talking about when you say the way? So you've got to explain that. What is meant by the way? How important is it to know the way? Because Jesus is saying, I am the way. So as you are writing, what would you write? Going by the examples we have looked at, what would you write as you're writing? So you've got your sermon title, whichever title you gave it to. Okay. Then what would be point one? Would you just say Jesus the way? Yes, you would. Because that's what the text is saying. You could say Jesus the way, or you could say, what else would you think? Do you think you would say? Because you're breaking down your text and you've got your outline. Remember, you're writing down your outline. Yeah. Because in sermon preparation, you've got to write down. Right? That helps you. So you've got Jesus the way. What else would you say? What would be the next point? Okay. You can make a subdivision, how to find the way. Yes. That would be the second point. Is there any subdivision on that one? You can leave it at that. The next one. So if you notice, you're using Jesus, Jesus, Jesus. That becomes memorable to your congregation. What was the sermon about? It was about Jesus the way, Jesus the truth, Jesus the life. Because that's the order you've given it. That's the order of the text, and that's the order you're preaching it. So the explanation you give to each point will be memorable in someone's mind. The moment they say Jesus the way, they know exactly everything you said. about Jesus being the way. Jesus the truth. You'd remember that. You remember Pilate asked Jesus, what is truth? You remember? So you can use that as an illustration as you talk about Jesus saying, I'm the truth. So you could tell people from the text that truth is not just facts, but it's a person. Am I right? The person is Jesus. So if somebody asked, when Pilate asked the question, what is truth? Jesus would have said, I am. Am I right? That's one part of the Bible that I have a chill in my back. Because Pilate never waited for the answer. He asked the question but never waited for the answer. If you read, you know, the account in John, he asked the question, but he never let Jesus answer it. And I believe if he had let Jesus answer that question, probably was not going to do what he did. Because adding to that, his wife gave a report that I've just had a dream about the man you're with now. You remember? God had spoken to the wife. So God was working a way of getting to Pilate to open his eyes. You're just not just dealing with a mere Jew here. Because Pilate was so pompous about it. What is truth? You're asking truth what truth is. Going by John 14, verse 6. Do you see the excitement of preaching? You cannot preach and not be excited because the whole thing is about the person. So do you see why I'm saying, as you looked at the example of John 14, 6 to 9, this is okay. But I'm also trying to make you understand you could limit it to verse 6 and still convey a powerful message. Because I'm stressing textual sermons, which is not common. Because most times we want to give a lot of other texts, forgetting that one is enough. As long as you go on deep and it's more memorable. So what you're doing here is you're talking about quality as opposed to quantity. Just the one thing. Whenever I buy a book, whatever price I pay for it, I always tell myself, if I can learn just one thing from this book, it's worth it. That's all. Just one thing. I mean, there are a lot of things I've learned from it, but just one thing, it's worth it. Because I know how big one is. Yeah. So, there we go. Okay. What I'm going to do now, just move on to explain a component, which is very important in this as regards to synthesis. We are encouraged or invited to look at Acts chapter 5, verse 24. Acts chapter 5, verse 24. Okay, which is there in your workbook. These examples in the workbook, you've got to appreciate them because it helps you know how to best write, use your words wisely and powerfully. You see that? Verse 42. Day after day in the temple courts and from house to house, they never stopped teaching and proclaiming the good news that Jesus is Christ. Now, look at how this outline is put. Isn't that brilliant? The frequent use of the word work, because that's what this text is really drawing our attention to. You notice that? Regularity of the apostolic work. How many times? Every day. The sphere where the methods, how? Again, what do you see there? Two words. Teaching and? So I guess during the week they were doing a lot of teaching. And then on Sabbath day, they preached. I guess they were even preaching during the week. But I'm just wanting to make it more clear to us to understand and say, well, there's not a lot of teaching we can do. And then, but you can also teach on the Sabbath. And then it gives us the theme. Now, what I want us to do with this text is there anything we can do to this text, synthetically? Is there anything we can do with it? or we just leave it as it is? What do you think? Because this is analysis. Synthesis, can we do something to it? If we use that method? Okay. You heard what Robert said there? Which moves us to page 49. If you just look at page 49. Towards the end there. They've explained to us the breakdown of the method, of synthesis method. Have you seen that? Inverted order, minor theme, superimposed. What Rob has just said, by reversing this, you are doing what? Applying the inverted order. Because you are starting with who, as opposed to who ending. The text suggests, the text shows Jesus is at the end. But in synthesis, because you've got the freedom to rearrange. In analysis, you stick to the order. In synthesis, you have the freedom. So you can rearrange verse 24 and start with the theme. Who? So in our work, we need to know who. So you're putting emphasis on Christ. Then you move to the next three components that have been suggested. The same text. So it can apply both ways. Have you seen the example here? So you're not limited to analysis in this particular example. You can move to synthesis. Yeah? You can even take point 3 and make it point 2. Switch them around. You've got the freedom to do that. Because the way that freedom comes is knowing what you're doing. And when you know, I'm analyzing this verse and I want to limit it to analysis, you stick with the order. But if you say, no, what? I want to approach this differently, then you change the order. But you're still remaining true to the text. Any questions or observations?
As you say, when you work out a sermon, you need to know who you're preaching to. So you can see that within that text, there are certain points which you can ask certain questions and certain issues around that particular congregation. And then you can move from one to the other and backwards and forwards. So it's the whole text encompasses it all, but it's a preaching way to do it.
That's right. Good point. Thank you. Very good point. Yeah. Very good point.
Did you feel confident to do this? Stand here, just one verse. Because remember the filming we'll be doing in March? This is one sermon you can preach. Because remember that we talked about time? I think Peter mentioned, he was alluding to a textual sermon actually, when he said preaching a sermon in 5 minutes. So if you have only 5 minutes and you have the order, it's easy to deliver. And that's what I said when I said I'll tell you one major reason why textual sermons are important. It allows you to preach what you have to preach in the shortest time possible, but effectively. Yeah. Because you may be in a congregation where there are elderly people and their attention span isn't long. So a textual sermon is good. Was if you go to 15, 20 minutes, they're all in dreamland. Yeah. So you bear that in mind, Yeah. So just preach. Even when you're preaching to a certain age group of children, just while it's their attention, you're holding their attention, you can just deliver. So it does apply. Even when you're doing funerals, textual sermons are powerful. Because there are times when the program isn't followed at funerals, when people are giving tributes, some go way over time. As a preacher, the last person. And then you have the the funeral director is looking at you and say, we need to be a cemetery now. And then you're standing. You may have prepared a 20-minute sermon, but they're looking at you, you know, looking at the clock. It's time to, you know, to head to the cemetery. So you've got to deliver it effectively. So you can appreciate this model or type of sermon. Textual. Punchy. It's explosive. Yeah. Do you see that? So these are different occasions where you can preach. Even at the workplace, if you're invited to say something, it's Christmas, it's Easter, and you're given the opportunity to talk about, you know, the Lord, textual. Just the one verse. Explain it effectively. You know, whichever approach you take, but you've got the order. You teach it, you preach it, it sinks. Yeah. So that when you leave, you're satisfied that people have got something. Yeah? Okay. Now, I'll ask you, as far as regards the exercise, pick your own text. Yeah? And approach it, analyze it. Write down the points you've drawn from that text. Then pick another text and synthesize it. So you tell us, this text order is this way, but as I synthesized it, I've changed the order to that way. Okay? Two exercises. You could do it in groups, in pairs, in threes. That'd be fine. So you have 15 minutes to just look at any text in Scripture. Yeah? And in this case, just look at one, just the one verse, just for the whole thing to sink in. Yeah.